Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
A small group there, but Lord, let that grow too, God. And we pray blessings in your name. And everyone in the house said, amen. Let's just say goodbye to the children now and the youth. Lord, we thank you for them. I just wanted them to see that, guys. And Lord, I thank you for our children, for our children's workers, Lord, that are so dedicated to growing children in you. Lord, I pray, come upon them in power. Let your spirit flow. Any of the youth going out, Lord, we pray you bless them as well, God. And we thank you that they had a fantastic day yesterday together and are now looking forward to Easter, Lord, where we've got loads of things happening at Basildon for them, God, as churches together, five churches in our hub, all come together at Easter to bless them youth, Lord. So let it grow and let your presence be there. Amen. Amen. Okay, Joe is going to get up now and read us read us from the Bible this morning. Over to you, Joe. Hold it on your chest.
So I'm reading Hosea 6.
You just hold that on your chest, yeah. That's it.
4-6. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that appears. Therefore, I cut you in pieces with my prophets. I killed you with my words, with the words of my mouth. Then my judgments go forth like the sun, for I decree mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, let's give Joe a big round of applause. You know, we honour people here. I'm so blessed by these guys this morning and Vicky that holds it all together and the people that do our welcome. You know, it's been a bit ad hoc since we came out of Christmas. All of it has, because we didn't know what to expect, who's coming, who's not. And it's been a bit like that. But after Easter, hopefully we get it a bit more solid with people committing in to do their particular role that God is calling them to do at this time. So, but we're going to continue with our series now on Simply Jesus. Simply Jesus. And today we're going to be looking at just and merciful. Our God is just and merciful. And it's really important for us to understand this God that we worship, because we can end up with this idea in our heart that either God's an angry, ferocious God, or we can end up thinking that he's this woolly kind of fluffy God that we can do anything and who cares. And we need to know a bit more than that. And so what Joe read from the Old Testament there, Jesus quoted, and he said, I require mercy, not sacrifice. Okay, mercy, not sacrifice. And so in this passage, what we see is we see God slating and really slamming Israel because of their waywardness. They become well sinful. They was worshipping everything else and that. And God's message through Hosea, the prophet at the time who spoke for God, was that you, my people, were supposed to be my bride, but you've sinned. You know, you're supposed to be the one I love and adore, that you're supposed to do the same for me, and you're not doing it. You're actually full of sexual immorality. You're full of drunkenness, and you are an unfaithful people. And then in the chapter before that, we see that God says, look, judgment is now coming on you, O Ephraim. And it wasn't that he was angry and couldn't stand his people no more. Ephraim is God's tender word for his people. Ephraim, you have played the whore. That's what he says. You've got a spirit of whoredom. You see, God doesn't mess about with words. He hates sin with an icy hate. And what we see there with God's people is that God's people have been bad, really bad. And God was saying to, and what they were doing was sacrificing, thinking, I'll do whatever I like. As long as I do a little bit of sacrifice, you know, that'll keep God happy, and I'll carry on doing what I'm doing. And God in that passage there said, no, it's not that. I don't want your sacrifice. I don't want your little morsels of whatever. I want your love. I want your obedience. I want relationship with you. And it's the same today. And the question is, so what is sin? Well, sin is when we don't give God the honour that he deserves. We start to honour other things in the place of God. We allow other things to take his rightful place in our lives. And we offend God. We grieve God. We grieve the Holy Spirit. And that's sin in us. And then judgment is God's justice confronting our sin. There's a reaction in God. It's not like that he chooses one day to get upset about it and another. No, there's a reaction in God. It happens as our sin meets him. Wrath rises up. There's a reaction there. But then at the same time, there is mercy. Mercy is God's goodness confronting human suffering and our guilt because we have sinned. And so it happens at the same time. And for those that go to Jesus, mercy always wins. Yeah, so that's why Jesus said, I require mercy, not sacrifice. It's because we have a good, good Father. Can I hear an amen to that? Mercy always wins. But the problem for us today, in reality, is that we live in a nation that is moving further and further away from the Christian roots that we've got here, from our Christian values. With law after law being passed that is an abomination to God. He hates it where we're going as a country. And actually, you look at many other the countries around the world, I won't mention now, that started off Christian, and they too are passing law after law and getting further and further away from God, just like Israel did in that story. You're supposed to be my bride. You can hear God crying out. And it's even in the church, guys, that we can make excuses for our sin. We can say, oh, that wasn't that bad. We excuse our sin. You know, everyone else is doing it, so that's okay. And this is the worst one. God knows my heart, really. God knows me. And we excuse ourselves from the things we know that are really wrong. And Deuteronomy says this, 12:31, sin is an abomination to God. It's detestable to God. It stains our souls and it contaminates us within. Proverbs 30:12 says, he calls it filthiness, absolute filthiness. And then Jesus said this in Matthew 23:27, that it makes your inside stink like a tomb with dead man's bones in it. That's what Jesus said. So can you imagine us worshipping God and thinking, oh, this is so wonderful. I bet my worship is rising up to God like a sweet aroma to him. This is in our thoughts. And God's up there going, woo, who's died down there? Yeah, but this is the reality, isn't it? Yeah, God hates that sin. He hates it. Every time we swear, every time we lie, every time we look at pornography, that's guys and women nowadays, it's getting worse. Every time we gossip. And so how is your heart today? Examine it. How is your heart doing? You know, I've recently had so many frustrating things happening in my life. There was one after the other. Somewhat we got a new car because of ULEZ constrictions or whatever. And within 3 months of having it, someone had reversed in the car into it when I wasn't there. It cost about £5,000 worth of damage. And I thought, wow. And then we were stuck in Istanbul Airport for 22 hours. The internet went down at home. It went down in Basildon. The insurance company said they weren't paying for what we were doing. The heating went down. And you know the worst thing of all is my new trainers that were only 5 months old started to squeak. Yeah, it was like, wee, wee, wee. I was like, God, you know, I've had enough of this. And it's like, but the reality is, I actually lost it a couple of times. Yeah, I did. And I swore once in it. And it's like, why? Because none of it was my fault. And I actually kind of excused my behaviour. I excused my response to it. Kind of stuffed it under the carpet and made myself right. It was like, no, I'm all right to do that. Well, inside, actually, I knew I wasn't all right for doing that. And so what I did eventually, it's like, God, you know what? I don't want to react like that, God. I'm so sorry. And I repented before God. You know what happened? Immediately I did that. I heard God's voice. He said, Clive, I don't want, this is what I'm teaching you. I don't want you to react like that. Because as you move forward, you live in a broken world. We're full of broken people and things are going to go wrong. Things will go wrong in your life, especially as you move forward with church planting, with the miraculous and getting people saved. You're going to find resistance. And I don't want you acting like that. And so immediately that I brought it out into the open and got real with God over it, He gave me the wisdom to overcome what was to come. He showed me what was going to come, so I'm prepared now and gave me the power to overcome it. And so I'm going to ask you this morning, guys, you know, what is in your heart that you're hiding, stuffing under the carpet, pretending it doesn't matter to God when actually it really does matter to God and it matters to you as well. You see, the thing is, and we've sung about it earlier, that God is our Father, and we love that He is our Father, but He is also just. Not just now, He's always been just. It's an attribute of God. It's who He is. And so God, thankfully, is patient as well. That's another attribute of God. But eventually, if we keep stuffing things under the carpet and pretending we can do what we want with a little sacrifice at the end, God will be okay. In the end, justice comes. We've got to be careful, church. And we see it through the whole history of the Bible. We see Adam and Eve, when they did what they shouldn't have done, they ate from the tree of good and evil. And He threw them out of the garden. Justice came. There, because of that. And then we see Noah, where God's justice came to the world because God said, I'm not going to contend with man anymore. I'm not going to part up with him. And He flooded the world, justice. And then we see the plagues of God come into God's people and many die because of their waywardness. And then we see the exile, where the unthinkable happened, that God allowed His temple to be smashed and God's people ended up in Babylon. Justice came. And it's not over yet, guys, because there is a judgment seat of God that every single one of us will have to go before at the end of time. And there will be a separation where some go into heaven and some go into hell. It's going to come, guys. But some of you would say this, Clive, I thought it was all about Jesus, simply Jesus. Well, it is all about Jesus. You see, with Adam and Eve, once they sinned, He covered up their shame, gave them a skin to cover their nakedness, and then shared the gospel in Genesis 3:16 that Jesus one day will come and He will sort things out and He will save the world. And then with Noah, yes, the justice came, but then we see the mercy of God where He provided the ark and anybody on the ark was saved. Jesus is that ark. If anyone is in Christ, he will be saved. And then with the plagues, we see Moses. Many were dying at the time. Moses made a fiery serpent that he put on a wooden pole. Anyone that looked at the fiery serpent was saved. Jesus hung on the cross for us so that we could be saved. And then as we see the judgment seat of Christ, that one day will come and there will be the goats going into heaven and the sheep will be going in, goats into hell and the sheep into heaven. It's going to happen. But mercy came with Jesus dying on the cross to save us. That's where judgment and mercy kiss. And mercy triumphs over judgment every time for those that go to Him. And so what I'm saying is I want us to know this God that we worship. I don't want it to be fuzzy in our mind that we can get away with whatever we want to do. That isn't the God we worship. God is holy, righteous, pure, and he is just. But at the same time, all in God, at the same time, he is merciful, he is gracious, he is kind, he is loving, he is gentle, and he is patient with us. So we go to him humbly, and we get the mercy, not the wrath, guys. That's our God. Mercy wins every time. A.W. Tozer said this, that mercy is an attribute of God, an infinite, inexhaustible energy within the divine nature that disposes God to be actively compassionate to you and me all the time. There's not a day where God's in a bad mood and he thinks, no, I'm going to hold back on that. And then there's a day when God's in a good mood and he lets us have mercy. It's always there for those that humbly go before him. So the antidote for our sin is to come to Jesus. And if we confess our sins to God, in 1 John 2, 1 says this, that God is faithful and just to forgive our sin. So, what is it that you're struggling with, church? What is it that God wants you to bring to him? What are you ignoring? That God just wants to come and give you mercy for that. Do you want to feel guilty? Do you want to feel shame? Do you want to feel I'm never too right with God? Or do you want that mercy today? Ephesians 2:4 says this, that God is rich in mercy. And that name there, rich, means it's boundless, it's overflowing, and it's abundant for every one of us. You cannot, it's like a shoreless, bottomless sea of God's mercy for each one of us today. For those that come to him, Jesus said this, come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened. And so it's our burden that qualify us to go to Jesus. If you are proud, if he sees that you want to hide it from him, don't care or whatever, it is not for you. He's come for the sick. If you have a burden, it's to take it to him. It's the heart of Jesus that he would meet us in our time of need and he would free us up from that. He wants to lift us up into the arms of the Father, just like a father would to his child that has done wrong yet felt sorry. That's what God wants for us. So, guys, the truth is this. We're all on a journey, each one of us. I am as well. You know, none of us are perfect in this place. But what are you struggling with that God wants to deal with? Is it anger? Is it frustrations of life? Because it will go wrong. It does go wrong. Don't let the thorns in, guys. Or maybe you are struggling with pornography or jealousy, lust, or maybe alcoholism, or just one or two more glasses of wine. What is it? I want you to hear the words now. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. Hebrews 14:16 says this, let us approach the throne of God approach the throne of grace to find mercy when? In time of need. So if you have a need, if you're stuffing something under the carpet, God says, no, that's when I want you to come to me. Now, don't hide away. Don't be too proud to do it. Bring it to me and you will find mercy. It's a guaranteed thing with God. Problem is that pride and fear keep us away from God. And then the sin inside festers and starts rotting inside us. But Dwayne Altland said this. He kind of tells a story of a doctor that went into the deep into the jungle to a tribe that was suffering from a contagious disease that were taking people out left, right and centre. But he had developed the serum for it. He had the answer to it. He had the cure. But you know, when he went in there, nobody wanted it. They said, no, we don't want that. We want to do it our way. We don't want your way. And we're not going to do it. And they carried on dying until a couple of really brave guys went up and said, you know what? Give us the cure. And they took the cure. and they were saved, and more came. Do you know, ask yourself the question, how does the doctor feel at that moment when people start coming to him to get cured? I tell you how he feels. He feels full of joy, full of happiness, full of elation. Why? Because that's the very reason he came. That's the very reason he gave his life up for them. And it's the same with us, with Jesus. He doesn't begrudge us when we go to him with something new again, or, you know, we've messed up again in our lives. He doesn't begrudge us mercy and forgiveness. No, no, no. It actually brings him joy, just like he did in the story about the doctor that went into the jungle. It brings him joy when we do. And actually it brings him joy, and it gives us joy. And it transforms us. That's what it does. When we receive that forgiveness, that mercy comes our way, it turns us into people that pass that on. That's what it's supposed to do. Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy." So we've got to give it away, guys. We receive it first, and then we give it away. James 2:13 says, "Be careful to show mercy to others, or judgment will come on you." And so is there anyone in your life right now that you are just struggling with? Maybe you're just not at peace with them, because, you know, and I'm not, I can find this in my life as well, yeah, that we take offence at somebody, that we get to the end and that's it, you know, and we treat them mercilessly, you know, especially if someone's treated you badly, or they've abused you, they've bullied you, ignored you, opposed you. You know, it's easy to not do anything. I'm not doing anything, but you just hold back on the mercy that you should be showing them. Don't bother to find out why they are struggling. No, 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 no. It's called cancel culture today. It's happening all the time. It's an absolute merciless way of life, where we cancel people out. We simply shut them out of our lives. We reject them as if they're not even there anymore. We stop supporting the cause that they're supporting. If they've upset us, if they've offended us in any way, and actually the goal is to silence them, to shun them, to drop them, that they would get relegated and they would get fired. Has anyone done that to somebody that's been really getting on your nerves? And life is full of them, you know that. But we're not to cancel them, guys. We're to give mercy, receive it, and give it. And the thing is this, is that how you show mercy to others shows and reveals what's going on in your heart. And God knows it. You can't hide that. It's whether you're going to get real with him, and I'm going to get real with him as well. No, the condition of your heart is shown by that. You know, and ask yourself this morning, is your heart soft and pliable and gentle and merciful like Jesus is? Or is it hard and crusty and merciless, aloof and unforgiving? It's so easy to drift that way, guys. You know, where life is so hard, so busy, we can drift that way. We need to remember, guys, this is the key. How much mercy we have received. How bad our sin was. Even a swear word is enough to confine us to hell without Jesus. He hates the sin in each one of us. We've got to remember how much we've been forgiven and mercy has come our way. Jesus said this in Luke 7:47. As Mary was there pouring out the perfume on Jesus' feet that would cost a year's worth of wages. Can you imagine pouring that away? Yeah. She did that. You know what Jesus said? She has loved much before because she has been forgiven much. She knew how much mercy she needed. And then Jesus said this, "He who has forgiven little loves little." If we minimize our sin, if we reduce it to next to nothing and a little bit of sacrifice, a little bit of doing good, that will make it okay. We've missed the boat, guys. We've missed the God that we worship. And so, guys, like Mary, each one of us here today, we have sinned bad. We have been given so much mercy, each one of us. So how is the condition of your heart? How is it? Does it stink like a tomb with rotten bones in it this morning? Or is it soft and pliable like Mary's, realizing? You see, I'm going through this so that we know the God that we worship. Merciful above everything else to those that go to him. Be still holy and righteous. And you know what? Your mercy is probably the most powerful thing that you have. Mercy can transform your life. It can transform your family's life. It can transform your neighborhoods. And it can transform nations as well. Philip Yancey wrote about this. In 1987, people gathered in honor of the war dead in Ireland. Suddenly, a bomb went off, killing 11 people. And Gordon Wilson and his 20-year-old daughter were covered in 5 foot of rubble. And with her dying breath, his daughter said this, "Daddy, I love you very much." And she passed. But Gordon's response stunned the world, guys. He said this at an interview just after, not long after. He said, "I lost my daughter, but bearing a grudge, hating is not going to bring her back. I'm going to pray for those that bombed her tonight. And I'm going to pray every night that God would forgive them." Imagine that. Not long after that, Gordon got to meet the bombers that bombed his daughter to death. That started a process that ended a bloody war that had been going on for years. Mercy is so, so powerful. James said this, "Mercy triumphs over judgment." Not sometimes for those that believe, those that go to Jesus, but always. And I believe that there is a spirit of mercy over us today. That God wants to pour that mercy out. He wants us to take out of the cupboard, get it from under the mat, take it out where we've hidden it and stuffed it inside. He said, "No, just bring it out." And we're going to break up in a minute for prayer with each other. But you don't have to say the worst thing to others. Just get it right with God. Speak to him and just pray for each other in a minute. But I'm going to ask, I'll tell you what, if we can stand. God wants to soften hearts today. I don't want anyone going out of here today with a hard, crusty heart. The Lord's blood will cover each one of us. And that is what he wants to do amongst us today. Whether you're in India, Basildon, or in this room today, or wherever you're watching, God wants to touch your heart now. But as I ask the Holy Spirit to come, and he's already here, guys, I want you to do two things. I want you to listen to him, and then I want you to do what he says. Do what he says. Luke says this, 12:32. "Fear not, for it's the Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom." God loves to give us his kingdom. And mercy is part of that. He loves to soak us in his forgiveness and that mercy. And if you have never received the forgiveness of God today, then speak to someone you're sitting near or you know that knows and ask them to take you through a prayer to receive his forgiveness for the first time. We just ask for forgiveness. Thank him he died on the cross and say, "God, I want to live your way. Come and have me." That's it, guys. That's for you. But for others, yeah, maybe you've been hiding something, stuffing something, a struggle within that's been going on years. God wants to release you from that today. He wants to deal with that today. He wants to give you beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning. You ever thought what them passages were for? It's what God does when we get real with him. You know what? I feel so much better when I got real with God about the frustrating things happening. Yeah, I feel so much better. God wants to give you freedom, knowing that you're making him feel delighted full of joy. It's what he came for, guys. He won't begrudge you. For some of you, you've cancelled someone out, written them off like they don't even live anymore. And God said, no, it's time to give them mercy, guys. You know who it is. Resolve in your heart now. Just throw out an olive branch. Just do something and see what God does with it. And for all of us, as I finish, all of us, we know someone who's having a hard time in life. And I know you're all busy. We are all busy. But it's time to go to that person, whoever it is, and show them mercy. Come alongside, walk with them through whatever they're going through, or help out in any way. Do you know what? They're the very people that we end up getting on Alpha, because they see something in you of Jesus. They receive something of the mercy that we have been shown. And so Vicky's going to come up and just play a bit of music now. If we can get into threes of twos and threes, however it works for you guys. And I want you to do it. You know, we're into that now. It's making disciples. It's not for the front people to do all the work. It's for all of us. And what I want us to pray is for that mercy. You don't have to say, you don't have to, you know, bring up the worst thing in life unless you need to. If you do, come and see me, yeah? But just come before God and receive that mercy. If we can get in threes and fours and just pray for that, God is going to soften hearts today. Praise you, Lord.